let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field.
Welcome to Strawberry Fields Radio, and to part three of The Beatles in Their Own Music. For those who haven't heard or perhaps have forgotten the first two parts, the premise of this occasional series is that while there have been mountains of books written about the Beatles, they were and are all writers themselves. So who better to tell their story than the Beatles themselves in the medium they were most at ease with? No one is suggesting us the complete or objective story, but it's their own story as they chose to tell it. So, on what would have been his 70th birthday, we present The Beatles in Their Own Music, Part 3. George.
Without going out of my door, I can know all things on earth. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one really knows. Without going out of your door, you can know all things on earth. Without looking out of your window, you can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one really knows. Arrive without traveling. See all without looking. Do all without doing.
Attracts me like no other.
Most of the rest of the Let It Be album had been left on the shelf for over a year, but I Mean Mine was the last song recorded by the Beatles as the Beatles, although John had already left the group by then. It's somewhat apt that the last Beatles recording was George expressing his frustration at the way they were drifting apart. Prior to that, we heard George's sublime song for his then-wife Patty, Something. We opened with The Inner Light, which was originally released as the B-side to Lady Madonna. In the first two parts of this series, I offered the theory that if there's one true difference between John and Paul as songwriters, it's that John almost always wrote about his own personal feelings and experiences, while Paul was far more likely to create characters in his songs and express himself through them. George wrote about everything. And by that, I don't mean that he wrote about a lot of different things. At his best, George's songs were about everything in the universe all at once. The Inner Light is an example of that. Within You, Without You is another. In fairness, Savoy Truffle isn't. George's best songs also had multiple layers of meaning. At the Concert for George in 2002, when Ringo introduced Photograph, the song they had written together, he said, "The meaning has changed now." Another example of a song with multiple meanings is All Things Must Pass. It was first demoed and recorded during the Get Back sessions, which eventually became the Let It Be album. And on the surface, the song is basically a kiss-off. I'm leaving you, but cheer up. By the time it was released as the title track of the first proper post-Beatles solo album, the message had become much deeper. It was time to let go of the 60s and Beatlemania and move on. And when George died, there was no more appropriate song to remember him by. My Sweet Lord was the most personal statement George had ever made in his music at the time, expressing his desire for a direct relationship with God. It also showed George's belief that there were many possible paths to such a relationship, as the chorus of Alleluia seamlessly turns into the Hare Krishna mantra, illustrating George's view that it doesn't matter what you call God, just as long as you call him. 10 years later, George would expand on his ecumenical view in the bridge of the song Life Itself. When George talked about living in the material world, he didn't mean it in the sense of materialism. He meant the physical world as opposed to the spiritual world. The title track of his second album was the first to contain hints of autobiography and also mentions the other Beatles directly.
Thank you.
The material world kept encroaching, though, and on the same album, George again expressed his frustration with the legal mess that followed the breakup of the Beatles in Sue Me, Sue You Blues. George's third album, Dark Horse, is widely regarded as the one where quality control went out the window. It coincided with the final breakup of his marriage to Patty Boyd. George's public statements on the breakup were typically philosophical, saying that he would rather she were with Eric than some idiot. But the music told a different story. It's not clear whether George's bizarre version of Bye Bye Love was meant as a cover or a parody or what, but it certainly showed that all was not well. If his version of Bye Bye Love didn't make things clear, a B-side from the same era certainly did. I Don't Care Anymore.
Okay, here we go, brothers. Got a B-side to make. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't got much time now, so we better get right on with it. I don't care anymore for Jews on the phones, and I'll kick down anybody's door. So hold you in my arms once more, and go anywhere. needs our right. Then get back up them stairs, you know I don't care. There's a line I can draw.
In 1976, George had the Sue Me Sue You Blues again, albeit in a slightly more playful way. The track simply called This Song referenced the fact that George was sued over My Sweet Lord's similarity to He's So Fine as recorded by the Chiffons. While the similarity is clear, it may still have been an opportunistic lawsuit, given that neither were the first nor the last song to use that familiar E minor to A major chord progression. For example, tweak the tempo just a little bit, and you get this.
Doolang, doolang, doolang.
Nobody sued Crowded House.
Drinking about it. This
George's annoyance with the music industry also came to the fore in the opening track of his Somewhere in England album. My dearest once suggested to me that George was the most artistic of the Beatles, and the more I think about it, the more I think she's right. While John and Paul were very different people, both during the Beatles and especially after, they both always seemed to crave attention and approval, whereas George always did exactly what he wanted, seemingly unfazed about whether people would be impressed by it or not. This might explain why Paul and John seemed to have a wider commercial appeal than George in the 70s, even though George made albums that were every bit as good as John and Paul's work, and certainly nothing as bad as Wildlife or Sometime in New York City. However, being a former Beatle with his own label wasn't good enough for Warner Brothers in 1980. They rejected George's original track listing and artwork for Somewhere in England, dismissing several of the songs as too downbeat. George responded with an annoyingly cheerful tune, which opined that what they really wanted was blood from a clone.
Don't have time for the music. They want the blood from
Somewhere in England was also the first album any Beatle released after the murder of John Lennon, and the song All Those Years Ago addresses that. The song is a rewrite of a song originally intended for Ringo before, as Ringo would later say, the meaning changed. In classic George fashion, rather than being an elegy for John, it celebrated his life. The song also features Ringo on drums and Paul, Linda and Denny on backing vocals. Although their parts were recorded separately, it was the first time since 1970 that more than two Beatles appeared on the same recording.
I'm shouting all about love. Well, they cheated you like a dog. They knew were the one who had made it so clear. All those years ago. Talking all about how to give. They don't act with much honesty.
Aided by some radio-friendly production from Jeff Lynne, George made a remarkable comeback in 1987. The album Cloud Nine was released shortly after the 25th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' first single, and includes a song where George considers his advancing age. Again, it's just like George to embrace aging, singing, "I'm not the wreck of the Hesperus, feel more like the Wall of China." George wrote this song at the ripe old age of 44.
Oh, I'm not a power or attorney, but I can rock as good as Gibraltar. Ain't no mono swing chicken. Big blood, but I'm still kicking.
Cloud Nine also contained the song where George wrote directly about being in the Beatles. It turned out to be the first part of a trilogy of distinctly autobiographical songs. Count 'em in, Ringo. One,
two. Back then, long time ago, when grass was green, woke up in a daze, arrived like strangers. All we had. that magnified the tears. Started once and I'm still alive.
Come to baby business.
Cockamamie Business, which was a new track on the Best of Dark Horse. After ending the 80s on a high, George made one more Wilburys album and, at Eric Clapton's encouragement, did a brief tour of Japan. Other than that, he kept pretty much to himself. George did some guest appearances on Friends Records and participated in the Beatles anthology somewhat reluctantly, depending on who you believe. But other than that, the quiet one was pretty quiet. Some of the songs on George's final album, Brainwashed, date back to shortly after Cloud Nine. It was possibly his cancer diagnosis that prompted him to finish it and leave notes for Jeff Lynne and son Danny about how he wanted it to sound. Stuck Inside a Cloud is an emotional account of how he was feeling at the time.
Never slept so little, never smoked so much. Lost my concentration, I could even lose my touch. Talking to myself, crying out loud. Inside a cloud, I made some exhibition. I lost my will to eat.
George knew he was dying during the making of Brainwashed, but it's far from being a sad or melancholy album. George is quoted in Martin Scorsese's film Living in the Material World as saying, "I have a son who needs a father, so I have to stick around for him as long as I can. But other than that, I can't think of much reason to be here." This shouldn't be seen as a loss of the will to live, but rather as embracing the idea of leaving the material world and moving into the spiritual world. Rising Sun is a song of the paths between different worlds and expresses thoughts in a line from the Bhagavad Gita, which is quoted on several of George's album sleeves. "There was never a time when you or I did not exist, nor will there be any future when we shall cease to be."
On the street of villains, take him for a ride. You can have the devil as a guide. Crippled by the boundaries, programmed into guilt, till your nervous system starts to tilt. In a room of mirrors, you can see for miles, but everything that's there is in disguise. Every word you've uttered and every thought you've had, all inside your files, the good and the bad. But in the rising sun, you can feel your life begin. Universe at play inside your DNA, and you're a billion years old today. The place it's coming from is inside of you, and now your payment's overdue. Oh, the rising sun. On the avenue of sinners, I have been employed, working there till I was near destroyed. I was almost a statistic inside a doctor's case, when I heard the messenger from inner space. He was sending me a signal that for so long I had ignored, but he held on to my umbilical cord. Until a ghost of memory trapped in my body and mind came out of hiding to become alive. And in the rising sun, began to hear your life begin. But it's here and now, nowhere and everywhere, though its atmosphere is red. Oh, rising sun, and the place that it's coming from is inside of me, and now I feel it constantly.
at play. Inside your DNA, and you're a billion years old. The DNA. Oh, the rising sun, and the place it's coming from is inside of you. And your payment's overdue.
That's it for Strawberry Fields Radio and The Beatles in Their Own Music, Part 3. A reminder that music is not free, and while George may have passed from the material world, a large portion of the proceeds from his music go to his Material World Charitable Foundation, which supports many charities around the world. So if you've heard anything that you like on this program and you don't already own it, do the right thing, okay? This podcast has been brought to you by God.
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Nobody seems to listen to anything anyway these days, do they? All got cloth ears. Especially me.